whom you have given me, says Jesus, the Father may give eternal life. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 348. It is December 16, 2015. So what saith the scripture about irresistible grace, the eye of the tulip? Well, we were talking yesterday, asking the question if a man could resist God at all. And indeed he does resist God. He was not equipped with the power to say yes to God. He was equipped with what we could call free will, and therefore he will be justly condemned because he always chooses against God. Can a man resist the laws of God? Yes, all through history and to this day. That's why people get into these desperate situations where they finally do call out. The law, Paul said, is our teacher to bring us to Christ. The law teaches us, hey guy, you can't do this. The law works together with your flesh to say you cannot please God on your own. You need something else. And that something else is grace. And God gives that grace to individuals all over the earth, and man can't resist that, doesn't want to resist it. He's in a desperate place. He knows he'll be lost in hell. That knowledge itself is the grace of God. And then God saves him without any help. I noticed that even in the churches that we don't consider bad churches, bad doctrinally, even in the whole evangelical world, there are many people inside those fellowships, through no fault of their own, who are still under the old way of thinking. That is, they're looking for a way, like the rich young ruler. What can I do to get to heaven? And Jesus exposed his heart. He wasn't just adding more rules, for goodness sake. He was exposing the man's heart by letting him know, well, you know, if the Holy Spirit's saving you, you're giving everything to him. You're totally sold out to him. But we have people who come into the church and say, what must I do? And we give them a list. I know in my own denomination, it was, all right, here you, first you got to hear the word. Well, we knew that's something I guess even that was an action that we would have to perform. I have to get someplace where I can't hear it. Then you have to believe that word, and then you're going to repent because of that, and then you're going to confess Christ before men, and then you're going to be baptized in water. That's the list, see? So, you know, we can all kind of justify as we go along, oh, I've done that, I've done that, I've done that. Therefore, and we put an equal sign, I am saved. I am saved. That's what works salvation. I don't care if your list is a good list or not. There is no list when it comes to being born again. What do you tell people to do? When they say, what must I do to be saved? You've got to say believe. But that message that saves them is coming within them. You'll have to say some things on the outside. But the people who are called to salvation are hearing that on the inside, and they're just reaching out. They're already practically doing what you're talking about, because the Holy Spirit is saving them. You must be born again. It says in one translation, another, as you will see, you must be born from above. That's what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, and that's why Nicodemus didn't understand it. He too had the list mentality. Here's all the things you got to do. But God comes upon a man and just saves him without the list. Oh, it's by means of some of those things that we put on the list. We're saved by grace through faith, no question. But even that faith is not of ourselves. Well, I said all that before. I'm looking for scriptures today, wanting to give you some scriptural proof of of irresistible grace. John 6:44, one of the key passages. Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." I mean, that's pretty clear. How does he draw? Well, through the gospel, you say. But many are called by the gospel, and many refuse the gospel. Yes, you can refuse the gospel. The gospel message preached by a preacher is another external thing. Even the gospel, the preached word, cannot penetrate the hard heart of a man unless, according to Jesus here, unless there's a drawing that comes from the Father. You say, "I don't like what you're saying. I'm not sure if I'm saved now." Excuse me. All we're saying is, if you have that desire to be saved, that's God that put that in you, and just follow what he says to do, but let it come from within, and understanding all along that you're not doing anything to save yourself. You cannot save yourself. These Pharisees, to whom Jesus was speaking, were prime examples of hardness of heart. And Jesus allowed it to be so. He even told his disciples that the Pharisees could not understand parables because it was not given to them to do so. It had been given to the disciples, though. That's all in Matthew 13:10-17. To you it's been given. That's a key word there, given. That's grace. You are receiving God's grace. They are not. Why? I don't know. I don't know. Keep saying it. I don't know why God's grace appears to me and not to the guy next door. I don't know. I do know that if I would share the gospel with him, God could use that gospel to penetrate his heart or not. You see, it's the or not that we don't like. God might not save him. I'm supposed to tell him anyway. Not only do I have no idea, I'm not aware of anybody that does have an idea of who are, or why people are saved and why others are lost, hearing the same gospel message, maybe even being in the same situation. We're talking grace here. Amazing grace, made all the more amazing because it's not founded on our normal expectations. You look around at people and you think, "Ah, that person will never get saved." And that's the very person God wants to save. You look at other people, "Well, he'd be easy and God won't save him." I don't know why. Jesus prayed all night, remember? Next morning, he chose 12 disciples. Why those 12? I don't know. Well, I mean, they seem like ordinary men. We look back now at St. Peter, you know, and of course, St. Paul and Matthew, and these were gospel writers. We just elevate them. But take away the Holy Spirit away from them. They are just ordinary people. Jesus knew they were to be. You think Jesus was sitting up all night thinking, "Well, let's see, Peter, he looks like a real leader to me. Yeah, he'd be a good one. Yeah, I'm sure that's a good one. And this guy over here is so smart. They say he's smart. This guy over here, he could protect us with his weapons he always carries with him." And, you know, is that what Jesus did? Just figured it all out in his head? No, it says he prayed. He prayed and the Father told him, "Choose those 12. And one of them was a devil. And the Father knew it. God is in charge of the choosing thing. That's his business. Ordinary people. Well, we call them saints now, and they are. But look at them before Jesus. You know, fishermen, tax collectors, you know the list. This was not random choosing, but surely choosing known only to God. And none of them, get this, none of them refused the call. Even Judas. So why you? Why me? I don't know. No clue. But I do remember the time when the gospel was so clear to me that there was no way I could have refused it. It was irresistible at that moment. I mean, I really went off. You should have seen me that night. I wasn't me. The people around me knew this guy's kind of weird. I mean, why is he so happy? Why is he laughing so much? Why was he crying so much? Now, the words came from outside. It was a preacher, well-known preacher, that preached the message. And the Bible, that's also external. That's a book. It's got words in it. All of that coming from the outside, but something hit on the inside. The drawing, the tears, the clear invitation, all that came from inside. A person could have preached to me for an hour and I wouldn't have gotten it on another night. And I'd heard this man many times, everybody had. Good preaching. I'd heard it and I liked it. I was drawn toward it, but it wasn't really doing anything inside of me until that night. The same theme is earlier in the book of John, by the way, chapter 6. We've had this before. All that the Father, what? Gives to me. All that the Father gives to me will come to me. They will. All of them. Everyone that the Father has given is going to come to me. It's going to happen. And him that comes to me, I will not cast out, period. Anyone who truly comes to Jesus looking for salvation, really wanting salvation, that want-to thing has been put there by the Father. Therefore, the Son will say, yes, you're in. You're in. Just like all those chosen disciples came to Jesus, chosen disciples of all ages still come to Jesus. They do. They just do. Excuse me. They can't help it. They don't want to help it. I guess there might be some resistance in some cases for a while, but when it finally happens, the moment of it, it's just, oh, please take me in, and this is so wonderful. From the foundation of the world, a group of believers has been assigned to Jesus. Jesus, these are yours. And you'll be getting them one at a time, down through the ages. There'll be one over here and one over there, sometimes a group, but sometimes when that group, big group comes, like I keep hearing about whole towns that come to Jesus, I'm very skeptical about that. I'm skeptical about big groups all saying that they're in with Jesus, because we had big groups in the gospel story. And those big groups, many of them turned away as a group also. Persons following a man. Well, our chief thinks it's a good thing. I guess we'll think it's a good thing, too. And it is good. Look, we're getting food in here now, and people are getting healed, and there's a hospital going up over there. And my goodness, yeah, why not be a Christian? And the name Christian then is superimposed on everybody there, and they all say and thinking that they're born again and ready for heaven when God saves individuals one at a time. He can save two at a time. He can save as many as he wants, I know. But in many cases, people just kind of come along because the group's coming along. Many of those people become the problem in the church later because they have never come out of the world. You know, some come in tears, for sure. Some come groaning and some jumping for joy. And some with serious professions of faith, but they will come. These ones that have been assigned to Jesus, they will come. And when they come, they won't be cast out. Now, I've gotten into that final letter, the perseverance of the saints. They will not be cast out. More of that concept in a little while. I guess that's about enough by the time I do my announcements and everything. We're going to be well past our time again. We'll pick up right there tomorrow, and that will be our tomorrow's only Thursday, so we got a couple more days. I don't think we're going to finish the whole thing even this week, but early next week for sure, we'll be finishing up. So good to have you with me every day. I want to remind you that this podcast, when I'm not talking all the time, features the work of great men of God, in particular Charles Spurgeon and a few others, and some North Korea updates also. My own sermon audio topics cover a wide range of Christian issues, long series on North Korea, a course on the Quran. I really want you to do that. In fact, I'm going to be picking up that theme here in a little while. I think that's the next thing I have to do. It won't be a long series, but I want to read to you again some of the things I wrote in that book about Quran to kind of share in connection with the news that you're hearing all the time. There's prophecy studies, and there's a Through the Bible course, Bible commentaries, there's more. Just keep looking through there, especially on days when I'm not on board and you still want something from there. Just browse all over the website and you'll find some good things. Don't forget to click on photos and click on the first album you see. Scores of picture updates on North Korea. All right. Where we began today, that was John 17:2, the Lord's high priestly prayer. Jesus says, to all whom you have given me, that you may give them eternal life.